Hi. Hello. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I'm really bad at intros. Every time I intro a Ramble Fab, I just feel like I'm some YouTube beauty guru circa like 2012. What's up, guys? Welcome back to, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I'm doing another Ramble Fab. But this one is special. 'Cause it's my first attempt at hysterical literature. What is hysterical literature, you may be asking? Because I only learned what it was like literally the beginning of this year. Essentially, it is where I read a passage to you whilst simultaneously jorking it, masturbating. Licking the bean, whatever. And that's what I'm gonna be doing for you today, because it sounds super interesting, doesn't it? I was interested in trying this because I have this pretty vivid fantasy, or just something that I think is really hot, where I'm trying to focus on a task, whether it's studying or playing video games or crocheting, working, reading, whatever, and someone else is trying to distract me and just tease me, play with me a little or a lot, all until I inevitably fold or go like brain dead. I think there's cars. What the heck? Sorry if there's some noise. I don't know what's going on. Like an alien invasion or something. I don't know. Anyways, I think that's really hot. And both ways, vice versa, we can switch it up. All around, I just think it's a super hot situation, scenario. And this is kind of the closest I can get to simulating that without, like, in audio format, without needing assistance from, like, another person. So, yeah, I have my handy dandy wand vibrator. Not the one from my last Ramble Fab, it's the other one I got, which has been like practically glued to my hand since I've gotten and I'm gonna be reading The Blue Castle by Ella Montgomery. Ella M Montgomery. Sorry, I can't talk. I don't know. I'm like excited. Yeah, The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery. I haven't read this before. I want to read it. It's on my TBR, but I haven't read it yet. But I chose it because I skimmed the first few pages and it didn't seem like a super advanced reading level. Like, I'm not out here trying to recite Shakespeare and challenging myself when this is already going to be a challenge. I don't want to stutter like every sentence. I need to win. I don't know what winning is, but I want to at least have a chance, you know? Maybe Shakespeare next time. Yeah. Also, this book is public domain, so you should be able to find a link to the book that you can open in your browser if you'd like to read along with me and see how many mistakes I make, because I'm not the best at reading aloud. I haven't read aloud for a prolonged amount of time since like English 101. So, hey, new rule, this is a no bully zone when it comes to me reading, okay? I'm gonna fuck up words. Just don't be mean to me. You can't bully me on that, okay? Yeah. I don't know how much I'm gonna read. I don't know how I'm gonna perform. So, it'd be cool to get one chapter in, but yeah, I don't know. We're just gonna see. Yeah, I'm gonna turn it on the lowest setting first. There's 10 settings on this vibrator. I've only made it to like four or five, so I really don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but we're just gonna read and see what fucking happens. I wanna come. I don't know. I wanna come. I wanna read a good book and come. Okay, I'm gonna drink some water. Water check. Okay. Let's get into it, shall we? Okay. Did I say that I'm going to turn it up, the vibrator up periodically? I did. Okay, I think I did. Anyways, we're going to turn it on. Let me get situated here. Okay. Hope that's not loud. Okay. Chapter 1. If it had not rained on a certain May morning, Valsey Sterling's whole life would have been entirely different. She would have gone with the rest of her clan to Aunt Wellington's engagement picnic, and Dr. Trent would have gone to Montreal. But it did rain, and you shall hear what happened to her because of it. I'm in a weird position, I have to adjust. Valsey wakened early in the lifeless, hopeless hour just preceding dawn. She had not slept very well. One does not sleep well, sometimes, when one is 29 on the morrow, and unmarried in a community and connection where the unmarried are simply those who have failed to get a man. Deerwood and the Sterlings had long since relegated Valsey to hopeless old maidenhood. But Valsey herself had never quite relinquished a certain pitiful, shamed little hope that romance would come her way yet. Never until this wet, horrible morning. Wet, horrible morning. Sorry. When she wakened to the fact that she was 29 and unsought by any man. A. There lay the sting. I. There lay the sting. Valsey did not mind so much being an old maid. After all, she thought, being an old maid couldn't possibly be as dreadful as being married to an Uncle Wellington, or an Uncle Benjamin, or even an Uncle Herbert. What hurt her was that she had never had a chance to be anything but an old maid. No man had ever desired her. The tears came into her eyes as she lay there alone in the faintly graying darkness. She dared not let herself cry as hard as she wanted to, for two reasons. She was afraid that crying might bring on another attack of that pain around the heart. She had had a spell of it after she had got into bed, rather worse than any she had yet. And she was afraid her mother would notice her red eyes at breakfast and keep at her with minute, persistent, mosquito-like questions regarding the cause thereof. Suppose, thought Valsey with a ghastly grin, I answered with the plain truth. I am crying because I cannot get married. How horrified mother would be. Though she is ashamed every day of her life, of her old maid daughter. But of course appearances should be kept up. It is not, Valsey could hear her mother's prim dictatorial voice asserting, it is not maidenly to think about men. Okay, I'm gonna turn it up. I didn't even turn. Okay. Jesus, I'm too sensitive. Okay. I'm in like a weird position. I'm like kneeling beside my bed. We'll talk about it later. But I can like muffle my face with a blanket if I need to. Sorry, I'll keep going. The thought of her mother's expression made Valsey laugh, for she had a sense of humor nobody in her clan suspected. For that matter, there were a good many things about Valsey that nobody suspected. But her laughter was very superficial, and presently she lay there, a huddled, futile little figure, listening to the rain pouring down outside and watching with a sick distaste, the chill, the merciless light creeping into her ugly, sordid room. She knew the ugliness of that room by heart, knew it and hated it. Oh. The yellow, what is this paragraph? The yellow painted floor with one hideous hooked rug by the bed with a grotesque hooked dog on it, always grinning at her when she awoke. The faded dark red paper, the ceiling discolored by old leaks and crossed by cracks. The narrow pinched little washstand, the brown paper, lambrequin, that's a word. The brown paper lambrequin with purple roses on it. The spotted old looking glass with the crack across it, propped up on the inadequate dressing table. The jar of an ancient potpourri. The jar of an ancient potpourri made by her mother in her mythical The jar of an ancient potpourri made by her mother in her mythical honeymoon. The shell-covered box with one bust corner, which Cousin Stickles had made in her equally mythical girlhood. Why is this paragraph so long? I'm reading on my Kindle and it's just the whole thing. There's a lot of listing going on. The beaded pincushion with half its bead fringe gone. The one stiff yellow chair. The faded old motto, gone. Gone but not forgotten. Worked in colored yarns about great grandmother's sterlings. Grim old face. The old photographs of ancient relatives long banished from the rooms below. There were only two pictures that were not of relatives. I think we're done listing things, let's go. One, an old chromo of a puppy sitting on a rainy doorstep. That picture always made Valency unhappy. That forlorn little dog crouched on the doorstep in the driving rain. How didn't someone open the door and let him in? The other picture was a faded passepartout. I don't know, engraving of Queen Louise coming down the stairway, which Aunt Wellington had lavishly given her on her 10th birthday. I'm gonna turn it up. No, I'll wait for the paragraph. For 19 years, she had looked at it and hated it. Beautiful, smug, self-satisfied Queen Louise. Sorry. But she never dared destroy it or remove it. Mother and Cousin Stickles would have been aghast, or, as Valency irreverently expressed it in her thoughts, would have had a fit. I'm gonna turn it up. I'm sorry, I'm in a weird position. I said that already. Okay. Turning it up, I think. Yep, okay. Oh. The next sentence is funny. Every room in the house was ugly, of course, but downstairs appearances were kept up somewhat. I turned it up again, I didn't mean to. Fuck. I can't turn it down unless I turn it all the way back up again, but I don't want to. Oh my god. Every room in the house was ugly, of course. I already said that, but downstairs appearances were kept up somewhat. There was no money for rooms nobody ever saw. Valency sometimes felt that she could have done something for her room herself, even without money, if she were permitted. But her mother had negatived every timid suggestion. And Valency did not persist. Valency never persisted. She was afraid to... Oh. say to her? Her mother, did I say that? Her mother could not bring up opposition. Mrs. Sterling would sulk for days if offended. I'm so sensitive. This is so fucked up. Mrs. Sterling would sulk for days if offended with the airs of an insulted duchess. It's like too much. But I... Valency liked about her room was that she could be alone there at night to cry if she wanted to. But after all, what did it matter? Oh my god, what did it matter? What did it matter if a room which you used for nothing except sleeping and dressing in were ugly? Were ugly. Valency was never permitted to stay alone in her room for any other purpose. People. People who wanted to be alone, so Mrs. Frederick Sterling and Cousin Stickles believed, could only want to be alone for some sinister purpose. But her room in the Blue Castle was everything a room should be. Valency, so cowed and subdued and overridden and snubbed in real life, was wont to let herself go rather splendidly in her daydreams. Nobody in the Sterling clan or its ramifications suspected this. Least of all, her mother and Cousin Stickles. Fuck them. They never knew that Valency had two homes. The ugly red brick box of a home on Elm Street and the Blue Castle in Spain. Valency had lived spiritually in the Blue Castle ever since she could remember. She'd been a very tiny child when she found herself possessed of it. Always when she shut her eyes, she could see it plainly with its turrets and banners. Are we listing things again? Always, fuck, with its turrets and banners on the vine glass mountain height, wrapped in its faint blue loveliness against the sunset skies of a fair and unknown land. Everything wonderful and beautiful was in that castle. Jewels that queens might have worn. I wanna come so fucking hard, please. Please. Oh my god, please, I wanna come. Everything wonderful and beautiful was in that castle. Jewels at Queens. I said that already. Robes of moonlight and fire. Couches of roses and gold. Long flights of shallow marble steps. With great white urns and with slender mist-clad maidens going up and down them. Quartz, marble pillared. Marble pillars were shimmering fountains. ravens fall and nightingales sing among the myrtles. Halls of mirrors are reflected on the handsome knights and lovely women. I turned it up. I didn't mean to. I'm gonna try to finish the paragraph. Like, I don't know where I was. I don't. Fuck. I remember where I was. Oh, lovely women. That's where I was. Halls of mirrors are reflected only handsome knights and lovely women. Herself the loveliest. The lovely. Loveliest of them all. For whose glance men died. All that supported her through the boredom of her days was the hope of going on a dream spree at night. Most, if not all, of the Sterlings would have died of horror if they had known half the things Bouncy did in her blue castle. I think was at the end of it. I don't know, I can't tell. For one thing, she had quite a few lovers in it. Oh, only one at a time. I can't. One who wooed her with all the romantic ardor of the man of chivalry and won her after long devotion and many deeds of daring do, and was wedded to her with pomp and circumstance in the great banner hung chapel of the blue castle. At 12, this lover was a fair lad with golden curls and heavenly blue eyes. At 15, he was tall and dark and pale, but still unnecessarily handsome. I know that's right. At 20, he was ascetic, dreamy, beautiful, spiritual. At 25, he had a clean cut jaw, slightly grim, and a face strong and rugged rather than handsome. Fancy never grew older than 25 in her blue castle, but recently, very recently, her hero had Her hero had red, reddish, tawny hair, a twisted smile, and a mysterious past. I don't know if I... I don't say Valency deliberately murdered these lovers as she outgrew them. One simply faded away as another came. Things are very convenient in this respect in Blue Castles. Fuck it, I'm gonna turn it off. Just see what happens. I might wrap it up here. But let's try one more and see if I can get through this next paragraph. Yeah. Okay. Okay. But on this morning of her day of fate, Valency could not find the key of her Blue Castle. Reality pressed on her too hardly, barking at her heels like a maddening little dog. She was 29, lonely, undesired, and ill-favored, the only homely girl in a handsome clan with no past and no future. As far as she could look back, life was drab and colorless, with not one single crimson or purple spot anywhere. As far as she could look forward, it seemed certain to be just the same until she was nothing but a solitary little withered leaf clinging to a wintry bough. The moment when a woman realizes, the moment when a woman realizes she has nothing to live for, neither love, duty, purpose, nor hope holds for her the bitterness of death. I kinda wanna come again. Fuck, I need to keep reading. Oh, I turned it off. I didn't mean to turn it off. Fuck, I'll keep going. I'm liking this book. Fuck, okay. Now I just have to go on living because I can't stop. I may have to live 80 years, thought Valency in a kind of panic. We're all horribly long lived. It sickens me to think of it. She was glad it was raining, or rather, she was drearily satisfied that it was raining. Oh my god. There would be no picnic that day. This annual picnic, whereby Aunt and Uncle Wellington, one always thought of them in that succession, inevitably celebrated their engagement at a picnic 30 years before, had been of late years, a veritable nightmare to Valency. But an impish coincidence, it was the same day as her birthday, and after she had passed 25, nobody let her forget it. Much as she hated going to the picnic, it would never have... Oh my god. Much as she hated going to the picnic, it would never have occurred to her to rebel against it. Fuck, I want to come again. I want to come again. I want to come again. Oh my god. There seemed to be nothing of the revolutionary of inner nature. And she knew what everyone would say to her at the picnic. Uncle Wellington, whom she disliked and despised, even though he had fulfilled the highest sterling aspiration, marrying money, would say to her in a pig's whisper, "Not thinking of getting married yet, my dear," and then go off into the bellow of laughter with which he invariably concluded his dull remarks. Aunt Wellington, of whom Valency stood in abject awe, would tell her about Olive's new chiffon dress and Cecil's last devoted letter. Valency would have to look as pleased and interested as if the dress and letter had been hers, or else Aunt Wellington would be offended. And Valency had long ago decided that she would rather offend a god than Aunt Wellington, because God might forgive her, but Aunt Wellington never would. Okay. Oh my God, please. I wanna come again, please. Oh my God. Please let me come. Please, just one more. One more and I'll stop, please. Please. Please let me come. Please let me come. Like, fuck. No? Okay. It's over. Okay. Oh, that was a lot. Oh my God. Fuck. Oh my gosh, I'm a mess. I hope you enjoyed listening. I kinda can't think. I don't know. I read 8 pages and there's no way I only read 8 pages. It's so over. Okay. I'm just gonna go. I can't think. I hope you enjoyed listening. Let me know if you want more of this, I guess. I don't know. Happy belated Valentine's Day. Bye.